in the day, this is what it sounded like to have access to the levers of power. Dr. Martin Luther King gets one of his many phone calls from the White House.
Okay, hold on, please.
Hello?
Hello?
Yes, Dr. King.
Yes, Mr. President. How are you today?
Lyndon Johnson and Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. This is a story about the absolutes of human rights and the contradictions and compromises of holding power and making change in America. The Civil Rights Act made it through Congress because of Johnson's ability to bring lawmakers together in 1964. Same with the Voting Rights Act in 1965. Both laws became absolute political necessities because of Dr. Martin Luther King's global movement for racial justice. These archival phone calls give the impression that Johnson believed MLK saw the world the way he did. LBJ sensed a political alliance here, while MLK sensed something bigger. So on April 4th, 50 years ago today, Dr. King made a speech that represented a decision that changed history.
Now it should be incandescently clear that no one who has any concern for the integrity and life of America today can ignore the present war.
Dr. King would no longer view justice through the lens of narrow politics. If killing and brutality against African Americans was wrong, then brutality and killing against civilians in the war in Vietnam was also wrong. Dr. King spoke before a packed crowd at the Riverside Church, a focal point of anti-war activism and civil rights in New York City's Morningside Heights neighborhood.
If America's soul becomes totally plausible, part of the autopsy must read Vietnam.
This was a huge risk for King. He was saying that while LBJ might be able to square the circle of a war in Vietnam and the quest for human rights in America, King would no longer. Justice was justice. The speech was met with controversy and condemnation. 168 newspapers across America denounced Dr. King's position. That week, the New York Times ran an editorial titled, Dr. King's Error.
So we have been repeatedly faced with the cruel irony. Watching Negro and white boys on TV screens, they kill and die together for a nation that has been unable to seat them together in the same schools. So we watch them in brutal solidarity, burning the huts of a poor village. But we realize that they would hardly live on the same block in Chicago. I cannot be silent in the face of such cruel manipulation of the poor.
It is not fully known how much King's decision hurt President Johnson, but the speech marked a turning point in their relationship. The calls grew less frequent. There's little record of their conversations after the 1967 speech. President Johnson had always wanted to know how King viewed the war. You get the sense in this rare 1965 conversation that even Johnson understood that the contradiction between war and civil rights was eventually unsustainable.
They all got the impression, too, that you against me in Vietnam. You don't leave that impression. I want peace as much as you do, and more so, because I'm a fellow that had to wake up this morning with 50 Marines killed.
He'd been terribly disappointed in King, for good reasons or not. King had become increasingly anti-administration, particularly on the war.
Harry McPherson, special counsel to the president in 1968, confirms how tough it was for Johnson to accept King's break with the war.
He was not naive about the impact of his taking on his government.
And Riverside Church leader and global civil rights activist James Forbes understood all too well that King had a day of reckoning coming, and that if it came down to a choice between a White House ally and the absolutes of human rights, there would be only one outcome.
He made it clear that America would never be the great nation and could not keep faith with the Constitution itself unless radical values, not just about race, but about the fundamental structures and the basic principles upon which the nation was built. So it was a call for radical revisioning and restructuring of the whole system in the United States of America.
President Lyndon Johnson eventually decided later that year that he could no longer run for president and end a war that was tearing him and the nation apart. And exactly 1 year after his April 4th speech at Riverside, Dr. King was assassinated in Memphis, Tennessee. His words, though, crucial to the anti-war effort.
I speak as a citizen of the world, for the world as it stands aghast at the path we have taken. I speak as one who loves America, to the leaders of our own nation. The great initiative in this war is ours. The initiative to stop it must be ours.
Whose responsibility is it to recognize the contradictions of power and pursue the absolutes of human rights, regardless of the cost? A question from today's headlines, raised 50 years ago today. Our thanks to the LBJ Library in Austin, Texas, for some of the archival material we used in this piece, and to independent producer Steve Atlas for bringing it to our attention. We Knew JFK, an earlier work of Atlas's in the same oral history form, will be re-released by PRI this coming month, right around the centennial of President Kennedy's birth.